The views and opinions expressed during this broadcast are those of the presenters and are not shared by Jukasa Radio or its affiliations.
The Bullpen is sponsored by W.J. Heslip, 1030 County Road 20, Hagersville.
Back up. Outlet pass for Rick Nash. Nash now tries to split the defense and walk in. Nice move. Another nice move. Oh, he scores! What a goal! It doesn't get any better than this.
White 72. High 17. What?
And now it's time for the Bullpen with Josh and Bully on Jukasa Radio.
Let's get ready to rumble!
It's the Bullpen here on Jukasa Radio. Josh, Bully, Andrew with you on this midway point of October. We got the MLB playoffs. The NBA's in the news because of China. Football, third of the way there. Mm-hmm. And hockey,
just starting up.
It is the most beautiful time of the year when they all converge at once. And I think we're like a week away from, what do they call it, sports giving or something like that, where there's like 100 games being played in one weekend.
Yeah, the NBA is what, like 6 days away?
I think 22nd is the home opener against the Pelicans.
Yeah.
So it's next Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're a week, they said.
Yeah, the banner raising for the Toronto Raptors.
Still sounds weird.
I know, right? For your NBA champion, Toronto Raptors takes place next Tuesday when Zion and the Pelicans come to Scotiabank Arena. Yep. Not only do you get the banner raising, you get to see Zion play his first NBA game.
Nice.
And if his first NBA game is anything like his preseason's been,
it's going to be fun as a neutral, as a Raptor fan. Not going to be.
Why is he not playing good?
No, he's playing great.
Zion's preseason has been epic. Zion's averaging like 23-10 a game,
and he is dunking over guys like they're not even there.
Yeah,
like just jumping over them.
He's a freak athlete. I can't wait. Yeah. I see, as a Raptors fan, obviously I'm excited for another season.
Mm-hmm.
But as a lifelong Raptors fan, I come to expect that we will be fine. We're not going to win. We already won. Yep. I'll take it. We'll put that in the pocket and we'll move on. We're not going to, the Raptors are not going to win a title this year. We're just going to celebrate this team as it's constructed until everyone's gone. And then we'll start all over again. But right now, we're just enjoying the ride.
Now, I got to ask, what's your thoughts on Lowry staying an additional year?
That's fine. Pay him $100 million. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
Yeah.
He's going to be he's the first number that's going to be retired.
Really?
He's going to have a statue. He's going to be honored in the city of Toronto for the rest of his life.
A statue? Oh, yeah, because he's a small guy. It won't take that much material.
I think he's like the same height as us.
Like I said, he's small considering
that. Fair. He's 6'2".
Is he really 6'2"?
6'1", 6'2", yeah.
I mean, I don't think he should be the first guy in Raptors.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. When he retires, hopefully as a Raptor, he'll be first in points, first in assists, first in games played.
Because he's stayed the longest of anybody.
Yeah. So, yeah, and he won a title.
He's 6 feet tall.
Bull. I say bull crap. Bully's 6 feet tall, so.
I'm 5'11". 5'10 and a half.
Why are you shrinking?
No, honest to God, when we used to get our weight and our height, guys used to try to put little pebbles things on their heels just to get that extra. They would not allow it. You exactly what they said.
I remember I talked to a guy who played in the CFL, and he's Canadian, and he went to the States to play college football.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that guys used to put weights in their pockets
all the time
to add weight so that they looked. They were perceived as heavier than they were.
Right.
Because, like, some guys just naturally were huge. And, like, he was someone that was big, but, like, not American big.
Yeah.
So, like, they would, like, him and other guys would put, like, weights in their pockets and stuff like that.
We used to do that when Central Scouting would come and they'd measure everybody. And guys, you know, they'd put on a pair of sweats. And sure enough, they'd have like stuffed in their pants and that just to give them an extra 5, 6, 7 pounds. Now it's everything's done in your underwear. Like you, no way you can do it.
Yeah, no.
It's crazy.
They want the exact, that's the thing, yeah.
Kyler Murray probably wore heels.
Oh, he had to.
For his measurements.
Well, he's doing not bad, though.
He's not doing that bad. There's no way that guy's 5'11", though.
No, but he's looks definitely a better quarterback right now than Baker Mayfield.
Mansfield.
Or Mayfield. Or Mosefield. Or Midsfield.
He's doing better than quite a few guys, I would say.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't just specify Baker Mayfield.
Well, why not? All I heard from the start of the year was, we have a shot at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's all I heard. And they're lucky if they're going to win. Might get another win.
It could be worse.
There is a history of this, though. Like, you look back to that. Remember that Eagles team? Mike Vick, coming off the Pro Bowl. They signed Vince Young. They brought in all the Nnamdi Asamoah and all these other guys. They made, like, this star team. And even Vince Young was like, this is an all-star team. This is, like, a cakewalk to the Super Bowl. And they were bad.
Yeah.
And it didn't go the way they wanted it to go. And Mike Vick got hurt, and Vince Young was bad. And that, there's a history of that. Overhyped teams rarely ever deliver. Last year's overhyped team was the San Francisco 49ers.
Well, they lost their quarterback.
But it doesn't matter. Everyone was pegging them, playoff team, Super Bowl favorite, San Francisco 49ers. Well, Jimmy G gets hurt, and they end up being pretty bad.
Well, even last year, was it 2 years ago, the other team that was like that was Jacksonville because of that defense.
Yeah,
Many people were like, this is the greatest defense we've seen since the Bears.
I'm on your side there, Pete. I know you're a San Francisco 49er. I know Josh and Andy are ripping our San Francisco 49ers. Well, I'm just telling you.
Not yours.
Not my team, not but me I'll just tell you right now. They look legit.
They look legit. But I'm just saying, there is a history of teams being overhyped. Jacksonville, I think that was last year.
That was last year.
You know, they were going to represent the AFC. Niners are going to represent the NFC. It's going to be Jacksonville versus San Francisco. Bortles against Garoppolo. Now Bortles is a backup in LA. But there is a history of it. Overhyped teams. I remember one season the Dolphins were overhyped. And I remember it's because they flipped to a 3-4 defense. They signed Joey Porter. And everyone's like, oh my God, they got the best pass rush in the NFL.
Yeah.
They got Joey Porter. They got Jason Taylor. They had this great thing. They were terrible. And that's just how it works. And now we're looking at the Cleveland Browns are going to be added to that history of overhyped, didn't deliver.
That just gives you the old sports saying, you can't win a championship on paper.
No. Yep.
You actually have to go out and do it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of teams that on paper, like a great example right now is the Leafs. On paper, wow, they should be walking their division.
Yeah. Paper champions.
They're struggling.
Paper champions.
Like they struggled last night with Minnesota.
Yeah.
And it just shows you that. And then you look at a team like New England. Have you seen their schedule?
It's soft.
And you would think a team that won the Super Bowl would have an absolutely unbelievable, but it's just this year.
That's the way the schedule works.
That's the division they go against.
It's very easy.
Like every time I look, I said, they're playing Miami now? Like,
they got to play Miami twice.
I know. Like, it's terrible. Like, crazy.
I don't know. Maybe the Jets might give them a run with Darnold. Who knows?
They look good last.
But yeah, our paper champions of 2019-2020 are the Cleveland Browns. We anointed them, you know, the winners of the AFC North. The minute Odell Beckham Jr. got traded to them, they drafted Greedy Williams. The plan was Baker Mayfield had a decent rookie season, won them a couple games. Here we go.
They get Odell. They're going to be the balls of everything.
They're going to be the what?
That doesn't make any sense.
No.
Anyways, Baker Mayfield now is sitting at 5 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, a QBR of 39.8, and just under 1,500 yards. Looking rough out there, and a lot of the issue is that he just doesn't throw the ball away.
No.
He tries to make something out of nothing, and what you get is a game which he had against the Seahawks, where he had 250 yards, a touchdown, and three interceptions.
It's not getting rid of the ball is the first thing, where he just holds it. But then, even to escape pressure, he doesn't look that confident, where he kind of just takes a hit, and he's like, oh, whatever.
If you guys want to talk about on paper, okay? If someone told you guys right now, the Washington Nationals were going to be in the World Series with a chance to win it.
Especially after losing.
Would you take that bet?
Right.
No.
Not a chance. Not after you lose Harper. Like, they look dominant.
Well,
you make the
flip of it. All the Phillies, man,
that's gonna be a
playoff team. No, hands down. Dodgers are going to go to the World Series again for the third year in a row. But here we are. Everyone kind of jumps to conclusions during an offseason. You make all these moves, or you lack thereof moves. Like, no one was kind of giving love
baseball,
to the No one was giving love to the St. Louis Blues last season. Yeah.
No, especially after they were in last place. Yeah. Yeah.
Baseball, it's about pitching. And if you look at Washington staff, sick.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the Yankees got unbelievable hitting. Houston's got a pretty good pitching staff. But Yankees, if they can get by four innings, they got the best bullpen in the majors. But you need something. And I'm watching Washington. They're getting 7 to 8 innings from their pitching staff. Like, mm-hmm. that guy last night, Corbin, who's their fourth ace.
Yeah, they're number four, yeah.
Out of first 10 batters had 8 strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah, we'll talk about the MLB playoffs and what to expect from the Washington Nationals, a.k.a. the Montreal Expos. but let's keep it with football. There were a couple surprising results and some very competitive games. Let's start with, in my opinion, the biggest surprise of the weekend, and that was the Jets versus the Cowboys. Yeah. Sam Darnold coming back after suffering through mono returns, 338 yards, 2 touchdowns. The Cowboys have now lost 3 in a row after starting the season 3-0. They've lost to the Saints. They lost to the Packers. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. But then you lose to the Jets, who were 0-4 going into that game. Darnold threw a 92-yard touchdown to Robbie Anderson.
Did you see the guy he threw it to?
Robbie Anderson.
That guy can absolutely fly.
Yeah, and he was on my fantasy bench.
And they said, but they said when he went down,
yeah,
the other guy never threw it to him.
Yeah,
well, they didn't have any good quarterbacks. Yeah,
they had the Luke Falk,
yeah,
and Trevor Siemian,
who then got
these
hurt,
guys
yeah.
weren't great players by any stretch. Like Sam Darnold, the class,
he's a
of
good quarterback,
the best quarterback of that draft,
supposed to be
in terms of pure arm talent.
Yeah.
Like, obviously not the most athletic, and mono really kicked him in the butt. But what do you think of this situation? Not for the Jets winning, because, you know, that them winning is great, but, you know, obviously the Jets aren't going to be a playoff
team. Jets should have beat Buffalo the first game of the year. Come on, let's be honest.
No.
They were up 6. No.
Yeah,
come on.
They should have. They blew it.
They blew that game.
The Cowboys are now sitting at 3-3. Jason Garrett doesn't have a contract past this season. Mari Cooper got hurt. They're not playing Randall Cobb. He was in. He was out. Dak Prescott's looking for a big payday. Zeke Elliott still, you know, gets 100-plus yards. Mm-hmm. Offensive line, both tackles missed the Sunday game. What do you think of the Dallas Cowboys in the situation in Big D?
Well, I still think they're going to win that division because it's a pretty weak division, to be honest with you. What are they? 3-3, and they're tied for first.
With the Eagles, yeah.
Yeah, with the Eagles. Like, both of them can't win. Dallas is a good team. One thing about Jones, he doesn't fire his coaching staff.
Never.
Right away. He stays with them. He gives them the opportunity. If anybody would have been fired as a coach, I had him fired 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
guy. Like,
yeah.
I mean, gone. Like, he should have been gone. But Dallas is going to be there. I mean, it's amazing. If someone that watches sports, it's amazing how many injuries are happening in the NFL right now. Like,
yeah.
teams are losing up to 10 to 15 players a week.
I think we say that every year, though. It's like, oh, injuries have gone up
so
this season.
What do? You can't change any more rules. And rules, you can't touch the guy anyway now.
Yeah, no, you can't. You can't mess with the rules anymore than you are. No, I think it's just, it's all about depth, and it's a battle of attrition. Can you outlast the other teams? Like, you know, New England's always been that team where maybe they'll lose one or two guys for long periods of time. But
then the guy coming off their bench is fine.
Good enough.
But the thing about New England is, they're always going to be that team, which people don't understand, is a guy might retire, might decide he's not going to play anymore. He sees how's the season going. He feels his body's healthy again. He's a free agent. First team he calls is New England.
Yeah.
Because they always say, if I'm going to come back and play, I want a chance to get a ring. Mm-hmm. And what team is the best in the NFL every year that has a chance to? Like, look at Kansas City.
Yeah.
Went from, wow.
Paper champion.
They're a big-time contender.
Yeah.
They look terrible right now.
Another, yeah, paper champion. Cowboys, paper champion. You know, going into this season, it's like, if they get it all going, this is a really good team. And they started off 3-0, but, you know, those were all against pretty pedestrian teams. You're talking about the Giants. You're talking about Washington. You're talking about Miami.
Yeah.
When they actually have to play competition, they haven't shown up at all.
Mm-hmm. So, Miami could have beat Washington, but they go for 2.
Yeah.
Is that the right move, or
yes.
do you go
yes,
for
yes, they wanted to lose that
they
game.
They wanted to lose the game.
Well, they didn't want to lose. They were
yes,
trying
they
to win.
Did. We talked about this last week.
No, but they tried to win.
If they wanted to win, they would
have. Two teams went for the
Here's the thing.
2 points.
If they wanted to win, they would have kicked the field goal and went to overtime because Fitzpatrick was pretty hot.
Do you remember what San Fran did? He went for it that 1 year, and they ended up San Fran having their best year in the NFL.
Yeah, but I'd rather them completely blow it on a screen pass on a two-point conversion. That felt like the Miami-Washington game felt like that ending felt like, okay, we're going to make it look like we're trying to win.
Yeah.
But how are we going to make sure we don't win?
How are we going to make it as hard as possible? Let's go for
two. Let's go for two and throw a screen pass.
If we get it, great. It was a good risk. If not, oh well. Like, yeah, that's what it felt like.
I'd rather do that than kick a field goal and then the thought that maybe they'll get a pick six. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll get a stop and run the field. Yeah. There's too many variables taking it to overtime. Two-point conversion, either you get it or you don't, and it's game over.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more variables. Yeah.
Some teams, it's automatic. And some teams just can't do it.
Well, no, Miami did a screen pass on a two-point conversion. A screen pass.
Just either run it up the middle or pass it to the end zone.
Yeah,
the other.
Yeah, you're doing slants or outs to your tight end, or you're running the ball. You're not throwing a screen pass because the field's so condensed, there's no room for blockers to get out and open up space.
Exactly.
I'm happy that they lost.
I would be too.
Well, I took them in the points.
Yeah.
100%. I got them in my pro line.
I was ecstatic that they lost the game. I don't want them to win a game. I want them to lose every game. I'm very nervous for the Cincinnati.
I wouldn't want to be a quarterback being first overall going to Miami.
Yeah, you do.
Well, you're going to make a lot of money, but you got no players. They got nothing.
The Dolphins, by the time the trade deadline's over by the end of the month, are going to have probably four first-round picks in this year's draft.
So you think they're getting another one then?
I think they're getting at least one more.
Are we keeping you awake here?
Yeah, I'm awake.
Because of the Jalen Ramsey trade, okay, that big piece is now off the block. There are two teams that really need a cornerback. The Chiefs really need a cornerback.
Yeah.
The Eagles really need a cornerback. Dolphins got one in Xavien Howard. He's a Pro Bowler. They just re-signed him to a contract, a pretty good one. If Jalen Ramsey gets you two firsts and a fourth, Howard can at least get you one first and maybe a third.
Fitzpatrick got you guys a one as well. So you would expect Xavien Howard to
Minka
at least
got you
get one.
One.
Yeah, exactly.
You can at least expect one first-round pick.
I hear this every week about Kansas City. We need a cornerback. We need a cornerback.
Yeah.
We need someone on defense. Why is it that there's always a top player out there, but they never take him? They never go after him. Like
the price.
Let's be honest. Ramsey's price, we knew it was going to be high.
Okay,
but he's good.
The two corners that moved.
He's young.
The first one was Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters played for the Chiefs.
Yeah. He's a good corner.
He's a good corner, and he retraded him because he was too much to deal with. Ramsey, you're going to get a lot of the same stuff you got with Marcus Peters, except the price for Marcus Peters or for Jalen Ramsey was two firsts and a fourth. That's steep. That is a steep price for one player. Like, Jalen Ramsey, obviously so talented, will garner a first-round pick, maybe two, but then you're adding more to it. The Chiefs are built really around drafting.
Yeah.
They drafted a lot of their high-end talent. Their offensive line, all drafted guys. Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, all drafted guys.
If I'm a scout and I have a team, I'm looking to go and look for unbelievable corners. Because in 1 year...
It's really hard.
You can trade them for double your price.
Oh,
because what classifies a good corner, though? Like, really, I mean...
Well, you have to be able to play man. You have to be able to play zone. You have to be able to...
And you got to be fast.
You got to be fast, especially nowadays.
And if you got the height, it's even a bonus.
That's kind of a rarity, finding a corner
for a height
like
with corner,
6'2". I remember the Dolphins drafted Sean Smith, and he was like a 6'4" cornerback. You're like, holy cow. And he was not bad for a time, but the elite of the elite corners, you're not going to get the 15 years out of them. Anyways, even the Hall of Famers dip down after 30. But they're a hot commodity right now. The two big names available are Patrick Peterson from the Cardinals and Xavien Howard from the Dolphins. Patrick Peterson is not going to cost you a first-round pick.
Right.
It's going to be more like a third. But you're going to get third-round production out of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you trade for a guy like Xavien Howard who really wants to play on a contender... You trade a first for him, you're going to get first round production out of him.
And Xavien is still pretty talent. Young, though.
Why wouldn't a team like Dallas go after him?
Because Dallas has a lot of talent in their defensive backfield. It's just, it's not all coming together at the same time. There's just a lot of that overflow injury, you know, the two tackles, the receivers getting hurt. Dak, is he good? Is he not? You know, your best tight end is a 36-year-old Jason Witten who came out of retirement to come back. Their defense, I think, is pretty good.
It's fine. Yeah.
It's fine. It'll get you through. It's not an elite defense. It's not a top five.
It's funny you say about Dallas because the other night Blindside was on. And they were talking how they start the movie about one of the highest paid athletes on your football team is an offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really realize it because you think, oh, I'm just going to go get the biggest guy out there. But they went over like his arm, the distance, the length of his arms, his quick feet, the size of him. I mean, it's almost like you put him in a machine and said, hey, I want this. And can you bring me a clone of this guy that comes out? Because if you get two offensive tackles that are studs, then you don't have to worry about your quarterback getting hurt.
Never again, no. And that's the trick for Miami this year. You know, everyone kind of gives them grief for trading Tunsil. But the big reason I think they traded Tunsil is the prospect of drafting Tua. Because if you draft Tua, Tua's a left-handed quarterback, which means your strong side tackle has to be your right tackle rather than your left tackle. Where Laremy Tunsil's more comfortable playing left tackle, playing that edge.
Is he going to go first or is it the other guy?
There are so many.
I think if Miami gets a say, I think it's Tua.
But like you're talking Tua, Herbert, Burrows, Jalen Hurts. Like there are six quality quarterbacks going in this year's draft where you're not really going to know who's going where until it all plays out in college football in January.
I don't think it's going to be a situation like the.
Well, Georgia's out of it.
Fromm's good too.
Yeah, but Georgia's.
I don't think it's going to be a situation though like the Darnold draft where you got a team jumping up to first to take Baker over Sam Darnold. It's not going to be that. I think if Miami's there, it's Tua. If it's Cincinnati, maybe they go somewhere else.
I think if Cincinnati's in the number one spot, I think they're going Herbert rather than Tua.
Exactly.
Just because that team's a little bit more veteran-laden.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to do too much developing. Like, Tua's a talented player.
I'm going to tell you guys. You take the best player available.
But that's all perception. Who do you perceive to be the best player available? That's the problem. Like, this right now, as you sit here in October, you know, the college football season is not over for a couple more months. As you sit here right now, there is no clear-cut, undisputed, this is the best quarterback in the country.
No.
There isn't one.
Oh, for the young guys? No.
Yeah. There is no...
You're never going to get it as a quarterback for Alabama because they're expected to be the best team.
Yeah.
They have the best offensive lineman. They got the best defensive lineman. They got the best...
There's a lot of red flags because for Alabama offensive players.
Yeah, always.
The best athletes that are coming out of high school are going to the top three best schools. They don't even have to recruit them because they know, if you look at the records, if I'm the top high school athlete coming out, I'm saying to my parents, oh, I'm either going to Clemson or I'm going to Alabama. At one time, where did everybody want to go? Florida.
Ohio State, well, Florida.
Ohio, yeah.
Florida used to be like the number one. Mm-hmm. Everybody had to play for Florida. But now it's like Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Oklahoma, you know, and Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's always like a condensed mix. And then every so often it kind of cycles through to almost the same teams that it was before.
There are so many red flags of these quarterbacks this year, though. Like, you look at Jalen Hurts, you know, he got moved out of Alabama, went to Oklahoma. This is Lincoln Riley's third quarterback in 3 years. He had Baker, he had Kyler, now he's got Jalen Hurts. So is Lincoln Riley the common denominator, or are these three quarterbacks just really that talented?
Yeah.
Jake Fromm plays for Georgia, which is a run-heavy offense, so he doesn't throw the ball as much. Herbert plays for Oregon, which is a pass-heavy offense, but not a lot of Oregon quarterbacks have succeeded. Tua plays for Alabama. Alabama's never been a really great offense of drafted team. Like, you think of all the players that have been drafted out of Alabama, they're starting quarterback because this is an undefeated team every season. AJ McCarron was a quarterback at Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't really turn out to be anything.
No, in the NFL, but in college, he was an absolute stud.
There you go, Alabama.
So there's a lot of. There's a lot of red flags you can kind of tick off on all these guys.
That was the guy that was supposed to be the guy in Cincinnati, funny enough.
The only guy that doesn't have those red flags is Joe Burrows. But Joe Burrows isn't a hot name.
No.
He's had a great season, but he's not like, he doesn't carry the cachet.
So he's a guy that could fall second round, maybe even further, depending.
We're going to quarterbacks. In the year that Darnold.
Allen and Baker.
Rosen.
Lamar.
Did Jackson go that year? Or did he go
Jackson went late in the first.
He went 30, close to 30.
Yeah.
The guy that went to Arizona now is in Miami.
Rosen.
Josh Rosen.
He's almost a lost thought.
Man. Yeah.
Like he's kind of went right off the map.
He got benched again.
Like he's off the map.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. He needs to go. You know where he needs to go play?
Yeah.
Backup? New England.
Well, that's a tough part. Like, tanking on purpose to draft a quarterback is such a risky proposition. We talked about it earlier in the year. Lucking RG3. Teams sucked for Luck, and he retired after seven seasons. And RG3 is now a backup.
It's true.
The 2015 draft, your top two picks were Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota.
Even
Mariota just got benched for Ryan Tannehill.
What about Aaron Rodgers? The guy got drafted
Ryan
near the
Tannehill
end of the
still
first.
Quarterback?
Yeah.
He's, I thought he was back in the booth. This
he's in Tennessee. No, you're thinking about Cutler.
Yeah, you're thinking Cutler. He's starting this week for Tennessee. Bench Mariota.
Winston would get benched if there was a backup quarterback worthy of it.
Mm-hmm. So who is the backup quarterback?
Exactly. I don't even know.
So that
Jamarcus
draft,
Russell, like,
yeah.
There's so many first overall quarterbacks that get taken, and it just does not work out.
So that draft that we were talking about, that quarterback one, so you got Baker going 1, Darnold 3, Josh Allen 7, Rosen 10 to Arizona, and then you had Lamar going 32, last pick of the first round.
And I remember at the time, someone did say that Lamar Jackson was going to be one of the better ones of all of them.
But then
there was
a huge chunk of experts being like, he's going to play running back in the NFL. He's going to play wide receiver.
And people thought of him as an RG3 where they were like, he's going to get hurt just right away.
It is a risky proposition to tank on purpose in the NFL with the hope of drafting a starting quarterback in the NFL. But we got Washington, we got Cincinnati, and we got Miami all vying for that number one spot. So we'll see how that works out. I'm hoping Miami at least stays in the number one spot.
Can you see them beating anybody?
Maybe Cincinnati.
Where's the game?
Maybe a
Cincinnati's actually not a bad team.
Cincinnati's in Cincinnati, I think.
Well, and AJ Green's supposed to come back.
I think there's a fluke game in there somewhere where they could just pull out a victory by
not
accident.
Bad. You go from 16-0 to 0-16.
But if I'm Miami, I'm trading that first overall pick if I can.
Really?
If somebody really wants... You make them think you're drafting Herbert if they really want Herbert.
And you let them?
Or maybe you find out that you're not all in on Tua like you thought you were, but somebody else is.
Yeah.
The King's ransom that first overall pick holds on a quarterback-heavy draft.
Well, didn't Cleveland give up? They traded up to get Baker, right? And they gave up quite a bit, I think.
Well, they had
1-3, I think.
1-3 because they took Chubb.
Yes.
They took Denzel Ward.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. And he's the top. Defensive.
He's a good corner, yeah. So, I don't know. Like, I just think about the
RG3
trade.
Was the first
right.
Yeah, to the Broncos.
Yeah.
I just think about the RG3 trade and what Washington gave up to get him. Mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be something like that happening this year where a team's starving for a quarterback. Maybe Denver. Because, like, the
Speaking
flag
of
on
bad
luck,
teams, how about Denver? They're a bad dude.
They're not great.
But, I mean, that was kind of expected.
Yeah, Joe Flacco's hot doo-doo. Coming up, let's talk the NHL, the start of the season. We got the Leafs. They actually have a good record, but if you ask fans...
They're boring.
There you go.
They're absolutely boring. So, I mean, Minnesota's no prize package.
No, they're not.
But, wow.
So we'll talk about that.
I watched the game last night.
Coming up after the break, you're listening to the Bullpen here on Jukasa Radio.
The Bullpen is sponsored by W.J. Heslip, 1030 County Road 20, Hagersville. Do you dare to enter the bullpen? Have your say. Call in Wednesdays at 2 on Jukasa Radio.
And now, back to the bullpen with Josh and Bully on Jukasa Radio.
No lo trates, no.
Nothing to th- it's the bullpen here on Jukasa Radio. Josh, Bully, and Andrew. The Toronto Maple Leafs have started the season 4-2-1. They have 9 points. Not surprising. They're very mediocre at home. They are probably the worst home team in all of hockey.
Yeah, but people don't. You want me to know why? Let me tell you why. Because everyone that comes in to play Toronto at home, that's where the kid's from. Those kids, most of those kids are from the Toronto area. So they're so excited. They got their parents. They got everything. So they know they got to have a good game. And let's be honest. You come to Toronto,
I mean, I know it's Toronto, but yeah, it's national TV.
I know you have the sweet seats to these Leafs games. You're right in on the action. I've never been, so I don't know. I just hear things. Is it as corporate as everyone makes it out to be?
Big time. 100%. You go, if you watch a game on TV, and you'll see like 5 minutes into every period, there looks like there's nobody in the building.
It's empty. Mm.
And that's because they go to their boxes underneath. Whereas in Buffalo, the boxes are second and third levels.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so you don't see that.
Yeah, Andrew, they're great. You should definitely check it out.
Thanks, Josh.
And I think...
I'm going to save the story once
I think,
he's done.
And I think the situation is that in Toronto, and this was the big stink about the Raptors, it was easier to get a Raptor ticket because if you go to a Raptor, they cheer louder because they're not in suits.
Mm-hmm.
In Toronto, it's like you win a lottery. Someone says to you, hey, I got two tickets to the Leaf. Would you like to go?
They lose their mind.
Oh, they absolutely
they go crazy.
People
like,
go crazy.
It's like you got the golden ticket from Willy Wonka.
100%. And that's what's happened. And so you get two tickets to a Toronto game. So people automatically think, well, I got to dress up.
Yeah.
Like, you don't ever see, look in the lower bowl. You'll never see anybody dressed.
Not a lot of
like a jersey, yeah.
They're all got, jersey. Like, a guy's got 3-piece suits on with a hockey jersey over it.
Nice.
Like, I mean, like, hello?
Hot look.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's unbelievable. It's Toronto's, it's very finicky when it comes to that.
Yeah, so the box seat story. Josh, who is not a noted fan of hockey, got box seats to go see my beloved Buffalo Sabres one day.
Yeah.
Did not tell me until he sent me a picture of him sitting in the box with his feet up.
That's great.
Said, hey, you like this view?
How's those sliders?
Oh, man, that's so good.
Oh,
this is so good.
Sliders are
man.
I said, I took another one of my friends who does not watch hockey. So me and him are sitting there. We know hockey, but like, we're not into it. I'm like, man, this was an amazing experience. This is how everyone should watch hockey games. Andrew really missed out.
No, I wasn't invited.
It's one of the most comfortable places to watch a hockey game is in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Because you're right outside. You can walk around a bit.
That's great.
And you got the atmosphere.
Andrew, you should definitely check it out.
Oh, yeah.
How about the food?
Great.
Like, fantastic. The food is unbelievable.
It's fantastic.
Whereas you go into Toronto, if you order some, they order food in.
It's pizza.
It's pizza. Do you not get sick of pizza?
Always.
Like, you might as well just eat a piece of
cardboard. Although it is the best of the pizza, because like if you go to a regular pizza, it's hot garbage. But like at least there, it's like a higher end pizza. It's still not that great.
As much as that makes sense, high end cardboard.
It's hot. The highest. It's like biodegradable. You know, cardboard.
But if you go to a Leaf game, and I'll tell you, so if you sit at, and I don't go to a lot of the Leaf games. I'd rather watch it on TV. And because going down to Toronto, it's just
it's a hassle.
Would you say your preference is to go to Vegas
to watch a game?
Yes.
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
So big time. Because the atmosphere in Vegas is, you don't care who's playing.
Well, and they always have something going on.
Yeah,
right?
It's entertainment city, right?
Yeah.
But if you're in Toronto, if you sit down, you can hear all the people around you talking about everything but hockey. Oh, yeah, you're so in the office today. Did you see that there? And I could have made a deal on that one. And we had one game there a couple of years ago, and the guy was talking about, and we were sitting there, and the guy's talking about, he says, yeah, you know, I was a hobby goalie, and I had a shot that maybe going pro, and I wanted to turn around and said, really? Like, how do you go from a hobby goaltender to playing pro?
To just making it pro.
You know, like the stories around the game is amazing. But getting back to the Leafs, first game that Riley has actually done anything all year.
Had 4 points.
Broke
last
a record.
Night.
Broke a record. They got goals from Tavares, Marner,
Matthews,
and Johansson.
Was it Johansson? I know the three got goals.
I think Johansson was the fourth, pretty sure. But it was nice to see, you know, Marner had a goal and two assists. But it was 1-0, and Minnesota missed a clear-cut breakaway.
Mm-hmm.
So Toronto scores bang, bang, bang. That's one thing about Toronto. They're explosive. If they get on a little bit of a roll, they can score 3-4 goals
you
in a matter
stop.
Of 5 minutes. They're that good. And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but until they get rid of that goofball behind the bench, this team is not going anywhere. Because when you got a stud like Matthews, as a head coach, and I watch all the NHL teams in the league, He is so underplayed compared to everybody else. And if you're going to play him $11.5 million, I'm getting my money's worth out of him. And Matthews wants it. I just do not feel that he gets the ice time as a superstar. If he should average, I'm telling you, drop dead, 23 to 26 minutes a game. Automatic.
Last night, he did lead the forward group, but 17 minutes, 42 seconds.
That's not enough.
It's not enough. It's way too split up between them.
And he'll give you that song and the dance in every press conference because nobody else is allowed to say anything because that's his rule as a coach. No one could say nothing. And he said, well, I'm saving him. Well, we all said, what did he save him for in the playoffs last year against Boston?
Yeah, when you needed him most and you got guys like Hyman playing the same minutes.
Matthews looks, to me, the best he's ever looked. Mm-hmm. Like, he looks like he's just a beast out there. Mm-hmm. Like, he's skating faster. He looks stronger. I mean, he just looks dynamic out there. And, I mean, I'm a Matthews fan, but I never thought he was as good until I seen him play a couple games this year. Like, he took over the Montreal game by himself. Yeah. But he's still not getting 23, 25 minutes. Well, look at all the teams.
Let's look at it. Let's look at the comparables, all right? On this team alone, Mitch Marner averages a minute and a half more per game than Auston Matthews. But when we look at Auston Matthews, let's compare him to the upper echelon of NHL players. Let's compare him to Connor McDavid, who is the most important player on the Edmonton Oilers. Yeah. Connor McDavid averages 23 minutes per game, while Auston Matthews averages 18 and a half.
Yep.
And what is Drysdale averaging?
25.
So you got those two guys.
He plays more than McDavid?
Leon Drysdale averages 25.
So you get those two guys. Why isn't that Matthews and Marner aren't compared to them?
I think Babcock's thing is, I'm rolling out these four lines. I'm going to even out the minutes as much as I can. Keep guys fresh. Keep guys going. He's never been a let's ride the hot hand. It is four lines, rotate in and out, make it efficient. We're like a machine. We're just churning over and over and over again.
Which again, like I understand you have Tavares and Matthews, obviously, in this situation. But you look at it like Bully said, every team, even Edmonton, your top two guys should be leading in the 20-plus range.
So Tavares to Philadelphia. See what Drew's averaging.
Like, for example, Tavares should be around that 21-22, and Matthews should be around that 21-22 as well. Play the fourth line. Play those Nick Shore guys less. As good as they were.
The Nick Shores.
Stop playing them 12 minutes a game.
The Freddie Gauthier's of the world.
Well, even Peterson in Vancouver, he logs a lot of ice time.
Oh, yeah.
He's always on the ice.
Yeah.
All right, so we're talking about Philadelphia. Which name in specifically do you want me to look at?
Claude Giroux.
Is averaging 19 minutes a game with Sean Couturier.
Okay, and he's 30 years old.
Yes.
He's 31.
Yes. And he
Matthews
more.
Is what, 42, 43 years old? Matthews is 23.
He's being treated like
he is. He's 22 years old. So, like, he's got 8 years difference on him. Take Peterson in Vancouver right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, him and Bosher get all
Besser.
That? Besser.
Bosher.
What is Peterson? He's a rookie.
Yeah, it was his second year.
He was a rookie last year.
Yeah.
Well, like even like Tampa Bay, like you can make that claim. Tampa Bay, they have like four lines, but even their top guys are averaging over 19 minutes.
So for Vancouver, their number one guy for minutes is Bo Horvat. Thank you.
I can just understand that.
1904. Pedersen plays about 18 minutes a game.
Still more
than Matthews.
Now, what do you say, Tampa Bay? What's the averages in Tampa Bay?
So, like, Kucherov's almost 20 minutes a game.
So, Kucherov's 20 minutes. So,
that's another comparable.
That's 3 minutes more that he can make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
And
he
Matthews
usually does.
Is starving for ice time. And let's be honest. Out of 20,000 people in the building, 18,000 people are going to see Matthews play.
Score some goals.
They're not going to see Gauthier play. No. They're not going to go see the Russian they can't pronounce his name, Ganya Mujaganabgal, or something like that. They got three guys.
The soup guy?
Yeah, I can't pronounce some of their names. But some of their names? Like
some?
Most of them all. Matthews is a waste. And I'm telling you right now, I would love to see like a coach of the Minnesota, Bruce Boudreau, who had always had pretty good teams, and he had Washington. He played Ovechkin until he couldn't.
Wheels fell off.
Because he's an ex-player. He knows when you got a hammer, you got to let him hammer it all over the place. And that's exactly what he's not doing.
Well, and the thing is, like, with Boudreaux, like, he used to play Ovi, like, 25, like, defensive numbers. Mm-hmm. But then when the coach that they won with, Barry Trotz, came in, lowered his power play time a little, but he was still playing over 20 minutes a game. But
his power play. Have you not seen their power play? He never comes off.
I think...
Well, when Barry Trotz was there, though, not as much.
I think it's a disservice now because these guys have all gotten their contracts that Tavares, Marner, Matthews aren't averaging more than 20 minutes a game.
I think it's embarrassing.
They got their money. They're under contract. Hey. Let's just go.
Yeah, play him.
I mean, you need a fourth line. There's no question. Yeah. But your fourth line should be, like, if you look at some of the teams, a lot of fourth liners have a tough guy on it. So they might average, like Reeves in Vegas. What's he averaging? 6 minutes a game, some game? That's all they need to... Not 12.
And like
just a 11. Bit of a tone setter, yeah. Exactly.
And you can't expect your guys.
What's Stone getting in Vegas right now?
You're
like time on ice?
Yeah. Okay.
You can't expect your guys who you're playing 18 minutes a game to all of a sudden play more than 20 in the playoffs.
No.
Like you have to get them ready for heavy minutes in the playoffs because in the playoffs, you really shouldn't be playing your fourth line a whole heck of a lot.
Stone's averaging just over 19 minutes a game.
Yeah, so. And they just paid big money for him.
Mm-hmm. Not Austin Matthews money.
So if you have Matthews out there for 20 minutes, is it not harder to coach against Toronto?
Yeah.
Because now you're sitting there going,
how do we stop
him? If he's on there, that means I got to play this defensive pair way more than I want to.
Yeah.
I got to play this line way more than I want to. Maybe I have to have two lines checking him. He's the least used superstar in the NHL. In my mind.
Well, him and Tavares. Probably, I mean, they're both sitting at that 17.
Like,
or
when
so
you got to put Marner, and nothing against Mitch Marner, when he has to get extra ice to kill penalties, because in hindsight, Mitch Marner shouldn't be a penalty killer.
He's the smallest guy on the team.
I mean, he's very good at it, but you know what? I'd rather keep him out there for 2 minutes on the power play than have him killing a penalty.
Well, and
first of all, when you're killing a penalty, the chances of him taking a shot in the ankle, breaking an ankle or something is a lot more than being on the power play where you have the puck, whereas in the penalty kill, you're chasing the puck.
Well, and this was my big thing, too, of why I kept saying Toronto is going to miss a guy like Nazem Kadri.
He's not doing too bad, though, in Colorado.
No, he is a good player. I understand he had his dirty moments, obviously, in the playoffs and in the seasons with Toronto, and that was the big excuse of why we got to trade him. But he was the grit of the team. He was a penalty killer. He scored 20 goals on the power play. Like, he did everything for that team.
So let's move off of Toronto right now. Let's talk about surprises, because we're in the early parts of the season. This is where you overreact to just about everything that's happening right now. What's the biggest surprise for you? James Neal's 8 goals and the 5-1 start from the Edmonton Oilers, or the undefeated start for the Sabres, where Victor Olofsson has 6 goals
my boy,
off 6 power plays?
Well, I think Edmonton, the start, I always said that it was a great swap. Both players needed a change.
Yeah. Pause for a second. I did not know this trade happened until last week.
Really?
Oh, yes.
It was a straight one for one.
I was just like, they were talking about James Neal like scoring 4 goals. I'm like, James Neal plays for the Oilers? When did that happen?
Straight one for one swap, man.
I'm like, they both make the same amount. They both make the same amount of money. They both were stale. The thing is with Neal is...
Neal had 7 goals last season with the Calgary
Flames. But he hated it.
But the thing is he knows how to play with good players.
He knows how to score.
And you know what? He lets McDavid do everything. And...
And I'm here to reap the benefits.
And he's here to score the goals. He says, but he's very smart at it.
Yeah,
he's very good in front of the net. He'll take the punishment and he'll give it out. He's no slouch. He's a hacker and a whacker.
Oh yeah,
you know. But the problem is that and Lucic needed a change. He was stale because they tried to play him on the line with McDavid, and McDavid burned him out in 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was even listening to an Edmonton reporter, and he said if Lucic didn't have hands that were made of stones, the guys would put up 80 points.
Yeah.
He's like, because McDavid would serve him on a platter, and the guy just wouldn't hit the puck.
Because he was out of gas.
Yeah, like, 100%.
Like, Neal, prior to Calgary, was a 20-goal-per-season
20, 30,
guy.
20-30, easy.
Like, yeah, always talking, played on a top line.
You're talking very Nashville, Pittsburgh, everywhere.
Very consistent. He goes to Calgary, you're not even barely, you're not making the top two lines.
But they didn't play him with the big boys.
No, because those two top lines for Calgary are ironclad.
They're set.
We don't change them. This is what it is.
Got your Goudreau, your Monahan.
You overpaid for Neil to get that extra scoring thump, but you're playing him on the third line. Mm-hmm. You move him to Edmonton, it's like, I'm a number one winger here with McDavid. And it's showing with 8 goals in 6 games, and that's one more than he had all last season. Now, obviously,
so everything's gravy for them.
Yeah, James Neal's not going to score over 100 goals this season.
You never know. Mm-hmm.
But, like, if he goes out there and puts up 40.
Yeah, but.
Wow. Yeah.
Getting back to what we've always talked about. Pull on the internet, and they talk about Edmonton, the dynamic duel. The dynamic duel. They don't say that in Toronto. Why wouldn't they say that in Toronto? Because they got the dynamic duel.
They got a trio.
I mean, they put McDavid and Drysdale.
They got a quad.
And you know what? A lot of times those two don't play together.
Yeah.
But on the power play.
You do it.
They do it too. Yeah.
And I always said, Tippett's a very good coach. Mm-hmm. And he's an ex-player. And he was a defensive player his whole career. But he knows, I got something here, and I'm going to run with it. Because if I'm going to make any money as a coach, you got to ride the coattails of the best players.
Well, and something I noticed, I was watching the game against the Rangers with the Oilers, and something that they were consistently doing was the Rangers would put the puck in deep. They would kind of be pressured, but the way they break out is so sneaky and so quick. Like you said, great defense where they don't let the Rangers do anything, and then they're gone the other way. And especially with a guy like McDavid and Drysdale, who's so quick, it was easy.
Both on pace to score over 120
against.
Points.
Both. Last year, they both had over 100 points.
Both over 120
on
pace. Obviously, pace is a whole thing. Again, James Neal on
but
pace.
But we all knew
goals.
It. Like, for Edmonton to have this start, they've won a couple games in overtime and stuff like that is a bonus because I don't think they got their fifth win last year till March.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all bad.
It was bad.
It was really terrible. Bad. But we all knew what the problem was there is, wouldn't fire the coach.
Mm-hmm.
That guy was so
and
stale.
The GM.
Like, get rid of them.
And here we go.
They had a good thing on the
fresh coat
the old
of paint,
GM.
And here we go.
He's got
Ken Holland.
He's ranked. Well, now he's Ken Holland's a very good general manager. But the last guy,
Peter Chiarelli,
he is ranked out of the top worst trades in hockey. He's got the first five.
Oh, he's up there.
Yeah, there's some pretty.
Like,
bad
he
ones.
Has. Don't forget, he gave Sagan away for nothing.
Yeah.
And people
because he wasn't
about
tough
that.
Enough.
But. He also got Tuukka Rask for Andrew Raycroft.
That's true.
I was like,
I don't think he was a general manager.
Dang. He's made some good trades.
I don't think he was a GM then. But
I'm trying to give that guy some love, man.
Yeah, I mean, the Leafs are frustrating me. But Edmonton's
clearly.
A very exciting team. It's another Canadian team that is, you know.
Okay, well, give Andrew some time now to talk about the Sabres. Like I said, what's your biggest surprise? You talk about the Leafs.
Without Brandon Montour in the lineup.
Without Brandon in the lineup, yeah,
he's
been out with hand injury, exactly. The thing with the Sabres...
Upper body. Is that upper or lower?
That's upper.
Depends on how long the arms are.
The thing with... Like, I would agree, though, James Neal is definitely more surprising thing for me, because...
Do you expect this to happen?
Not this many, especially his first 7 career goals all in the power play.
Started the same way last year, Josh.
Oh, no, they didn't.
They won 10 in a row last season?
Yeah, that was in the middle. That was in the month of November.
That's even worse.
That's why I'm not getting excited. But go ahead.
No, me neither.
Go ahead.
I'm having my fun right now because I know it's about to end. It's either them or the Bills are going to come crashing down on me and I'm going to cry.
Oh, yeah. They're both like...
They're both 4... Well, one is 4-1, the other one's 5-0-1.
Yeah, how does that feel?
I've never had this before, so I don't know what to feel. But the thing with this kid, Olofsson, he's a 23-year-old rookie. He's coming in. He was a 7th-round pick. But watching him last year in Rochester, his big thing was let him go to the circle and shoot the puck. And that's exactly what they're doing. They put him a ton on the power play, just pass him the puck, and he risks
the kid they got for who'd they make the trade for?
No, they drafted this kid 7th round, like 4 years ago.
2014.
Yeah.
Who'd they get for the guy that's playing in Leafs' brother?
Oh, Nylander, Joki Haru, the defenseman.
Okay.
Number 10.
I had something.
Is their goaltending going to be able to, is it legit?
That's what I'm wondering, because it's looking like an Islanders situation right now where they're rolling 2 goalies with Hutton and Ullmark.
Like, just riding the hot hand?
Yeah, exactly. Basically, hey, if you're playing go out.
Okay,
there.
So, do you remember who the coach is for the Sabres right now?
I do.
I know you
do.
Yeah,
I know Ralph Kruger. I'm friends with him.
Yeah, okay, Ralph Kruger. Former Edmonton head coach,
who
actually for Southampton
didn't last long in Edmonton.
Here's the thing with Edmonton was that team on paper was horrible,
yeah.
was really bad, and they finished 500. And a lot of people thought he would stay.
And then he went to Southampton.
Yeah, in the English Premier League.
English Premier League soccer.
So what Ralph is, used to run the national, used to run Switzerland national hockey program a lot of years. Was a German national hockey player for a lot of years from Winnipeg. And he's what he does is he's a speaker. He travels all around. He speaks. He's a very high motivator speaker. And I think he tried to bring that philosophy in Edmonton, and players tune that out. Mm-hmm. I mean, but you know what? You get fired, you go back, you regroup.
Well, actually, change. They said
the problem is, guys, I got to throw it out there again. Babcock won't change.
Well, all right, so enough of this. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to move off of hockey so a bully doesn't have an aneurysm. You're listening to The Bullpen here on Jukas Radio.
The Bullpen is sponsored by W.J. Heslip, 1030 County Road 20, Hagersville.
Do you dare to enter the bullpen? Have your say. Call in Wednesdays at 2 on Jukas Radio.
And now, back to the bullpen with Josh and Bully on Jukasa Radio.
It's the bullpen here on Jukasa Radio. Just a few minutes left. The Washington Nationals are moving on to the World Series after sweeping the St. Louis Cardinals. And the Houston Astros took a 2-1 series lead over the Yankees. Even though the Yankees tried their best, Gerrit Cole was the starting pitcher for the Astros.
Guy's sick.
But he gave up 4 hits, 5 walks, but still struck out 7 over 7 innings. Here we go. It's the Nationals against the Yankees or the Astros. Who would have thought the Washington Nationals, after losing Bryce Harper, would make it all the way to the World Series? But my God, Max Scherzer is on another level.
Well, their whole pitch, that Sanchez.
Anibal Sanchez, yep. Patrick Corbin, Steven Strasburg.
Patrick Corbin, yeah.
Like, Strasburg never turned into what everyone thought he would turn into, but still
he had Tommy
pretty
John.
Good.
He had Tommy John.
Yeah.
And he's come back. He was supposed to be the biggest stud ever.
Yeah,
pitching.
Ever. I don't like even think he went to the minors.
Was he the first, he was one of the first guys that threw the ball like 100?
Yeah.
Like he was.
He never went to the minors. He got drafted and then straight to Washington.
Which is absurd for a pitcher.
Same with Bryce Harper, too.
Like you look at Washington, I mean, they got a lot of no-names, like hitting.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's not like they're
old vets, though. Howie Kendrick, Kurt Suzuki,
Zimmerman.
But did you see how they, when it's your time. Yeah. Did you see the runs they were scoring?
Yeah.
I mean, like, St. Louis looked like they were a minor league team.
When you're ready to go, like, there's nothing stopping you. You got all that momentum. Like,
you go into Atlanta. You know, I mean, they didn't play Atlanta. They played L.A., which was a tough team. And they come down to pitching.
And they won.
They had better pitching. And especially now. I think Scherzer, he pitched every second inning.
Pretty much. In that
Dodger series.
Yeah.
Like, it's nuts. And now he's got some rest. He's going to end up starting. They'll come back with Sanchez and then Strasburg.
Yeah.
I mean, they are so pitcher-oriented, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, like, I don't know if you heard this, but the Astros and the Yankees for game number 4, which just got postponed, so it's going to be tomorrow, it's both bullpen days for them. So they're not going to have a traditional starter starting the game. It's going to be all relievers, where the other approach for Washington was 4 starters... Let's go.
Cycle them through, yeah.
Cycle them through. Going. Why are we overusing our bullpen so that we don't have one when we need one?
Yeah.
See, this day off hurts the Yankees.
Oh,
that gives Cole an extra day rest. That gives Verlander an extra day rest.
Cranky.
I mean, it's going to be...
It's tough sledding for the Yankees to try and come back and win the series. I mean, even though they're only down 2-1.
But I'll tell you something. I would never count the Yankees out. They got the best bullpen in the game, but... They can't hit the ball. And the problem is they're not getting any hits from some of their big boys.
Well, what's the playoff? The playoffs always teaches you this. The power gets taken out of the equation in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And when you're a power-heavy team like they are, and Stanton's not in the lineup.
Yeah, what happened to him now?
He's been a mess there.
So, yeah.
That has not worked out.
The
pitching matchup to start what was supposed to be today, now tomorrow, is going to be Greinke against Tanaka.
Okay.
Well, you want Greinke? Has he won a game yet? He's one of the most overpaid pitchers that was ever signed to the biggest deal in pro sport.
But
that's a report. They're saying it could be Greinke and Tanaka to start.
He was available. He was the best pitcher available when people needed pitchers, right?
How does Houston get a guy like Cole?
Cole Verlander and
Cole was the ace in Pittsburgh.
Trade. That's how.
I know, but that is so nuts. And they haven't even used what's-his-name as the closer.
Osuna?
He's hardly even really
Aaron
done
Sanchez,
it.
Guys?
Oh, yeah, he's there, too.
Remember Aaron Sanchez?
But what's crazy, too, is like looking at the whole like playoff.
Oh, did I tell you the Corvairs are 13-1, too? Yeah.
We knew. Person. We kept saying the Yankees and the Astros, they were going to be here.
Yeah.
But it's just crazy. Still looking at Washington.
So let's look at the three teams that are left.
Yeah.
Okay? The two that are more likely going to be in the World Series.
Right.
Think about their starting pitchers.
Houston and Washington.
How many of those starting pitchers did they draft? Dude. Everyone freaks out because the Blue Jays have no pitching in their farm system. Guess what? The top teams that win titles, their pitchers aren't from the farm system either.
Look at the years like the Phillies were good. They took Roy Halladay from the Jays.
Yep.
It's like they didn't draft him. Like,
well, we'll see what the World Series looks like. I'm sure it'll be over by next week.
Don't forget about the Corvairs.
And the Corvairs.
Number one in all of Junior B right now, 13-1.
Welcome back, Bully. Welcome back.
187 minutes without a goal. Congratulations to my goaltending. It's been very awesome. Three shutouts in a row.
Anything you want to add to that, Andrew?
No. Congrats.
There you go. Congrats. Yeah.
Thank you there.
That was hard. Savers.
Who's the Savers got this week?
They play Anaheim tonight. They're on the West Coast trip.
Okay, bye.
Corey's in next free afternoon drive. Andrew's in tonight.
He's a Buffalo fan, too.
He is. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.